All right, it's 2 o'clock, so we're gonna go ahead and get started. So welcome, my name is Katie Martins, and I am a program manager in Windows. Today, I'll be talking to you about how you can improve your application health using Crash Analytics. But before I get started, I wanna tell you a personal story about myself. So a few years ago, I was in college, studying really hard, and I wanted to apply for a scholarship application. So one Saturday, I sat down in my dorm room. I started working on my application, filling out the essay questions, answering all the other questions they ask, and I'd spent a few hours on it. And no more than 30 seconds before I went to submit my application, it crashed. So needless to say, I was very unhappy. And I was sitting in my dorm room thinking to myself, if only Microsoft knew how angry it was, they would know they had a very unhappy customer. So a few years later, I joined Microsoft, and I joined the telemetry team. And what I realized was there's a whole group of people there dedicated to trying to understand when crashes occur, why they occur, and how we can improve the products. So I'm here today to tell you about the crash data that we have available, which you can use for your applications. So we use it internally, but we also have avenues so you guys can use it with your applications as well. So I'm going to start off by going over the importance of customer feedback. I'll then show you the data we have available for desktop applications. There are some additional tools we provide that allow for customization through automation. We've added some new features in the past year, so I'll briefly mention those. And then I'll close with mentioning the reports that are available for crash with modern applications. So customer feedback actually originated at Microsoft in the Office division. It was first introduced into Windows during the Windows XP timeframe. So Microsoft is very invested in understanding their users and trying to make their products and applications better. So as you know, Windows is used globally. So we receive data from millions and millions of users worldwide. And the point I want to make is that we have the data already, and I'm going to show you how you can access it. So there's opportunity here. You guys are either writing applications or you want to write applications, and you want to have lots of customers. Who doesn't want to have lots of customers? So there's an opportunity to have a global impact. And the data that I'm going to show you today can help you understand how your customers are using your products and how you can build your applications to make them more stable and more reliable. Okay. So the best way to show you this is to actually walk you through how you would access the data. So I'm going to go through the flow now as if I'm a new person, I have a new application, and I want to get data for it. So who here is familiar with MSDN? I assume most people are. If you're not, it's a great tool for developers, so I encourage you to go check it out. But on the MSDN site, there's a link to Windows. So if we click here, that's going to take us to the Windows Dev Center. And this is kind of the avenue in the portal to access information for both modern app as well as desktop applications. So for today's talk, I'm going to cover the first tile on the left for Windows Store, and then also the desktop and the hardware piece as well. But we're going to start off with desktop. So if I click on desktop, it will take me to this view. And if you notice in the top left corner, there's a link that says dashboard. This button is what's going to take you into our portal site where we host all the data. So if I click here, the first thing I need is to have a Microsoft account. If you don't have one already, it's free. You can go create one. So I have a Microsoft account. I'm going to put in my credentials. And the next thing it's going to show me is say, you need to have a certificate. So the second piece you need, so first of all, you need a Microsoft account. The second piece is you need to have a Class 3 VeriSign certificate. Most large corporations already have them today. If you don't, it's $99. But you do need those two pieces in order to access the data. So I have my certificate. I'm ready to go. So I click on dashboard. I'm logged in. And now I'm taken to our homepage. So there's a variety of things you can do on this dashboard. It's often referred to as SysDev. Has anyone seen this before or used the SysDev dashboard? OK, a few of you. Great. Keep using it. For those of you who haven't seen it, that's why I'm here, to educate you. So for today's talk, I'm just going to focus on the reporting piece. So looking at the reports, as you can see initially, there's not much data here, and that's for a reason. So before we can actually show you crash analytics, we need help from you to understand which files you own so that we can map the files to the crash data that we're getting. So if you notice on the bottom of the screen, there's a link for our product mapping tool. So once you get access to the site, you'll want to go and you're going to want to install the product mapping tool. Okay. So I've already installed this tool, and that's what I'm going to go ahead and use to say I'm this corporation, I have these products, and I want to map these files. So let's take a look at that process. Okay. So again, it's going to prompt me to provide my credentials. So I'm going to put the same ones in that I used to log into the reporting site. So here's our product mapping tool. And it's blank right now because I have nothing there. But it's very easy to add new information. So if you notice, on the left-hand side, there's an option that says new products. If I click on that, I'll get a prompt, and that's where I'm going to name my product. So I picked a friendly name of my product, and it's my first version. So I'm going to go ahead and create that. Okay, so great. So now I have my product, and it's mapped to the company because I just logged in as myself. So clicking on the product will take me to a summary page. And from here, this is where you're going to want to add your files. So again, you see an option on the left to add a file. And I just want to call it briefly, really quick. You'll notice there's also an option to add drivers. So I'm just demonstrating how to map your files today. If you also own drivers, we also collect crash analytics for drivers. I'm just not going to cover it during this presentation, but the workflow for it is very similar. So if you understand the file mapping, translating it to a driver should be very straightforward. All right, so let's add a file. So I've created a friendly application called Crash Me for Build, and I'm going to go ahead and map that to my product. All right, so now I'm all set up. In the product mapping tool, I have my product created, and now I have my file mapped to my product. So the last step here is to actually publish these changes. So that's going to sync everything, send it up to our telemetry servers, and so now we know which products you own and the files that are associated with it. Okay. All right, so now the product mapping tool phase is over. I have all the data synced to our servers, and that's what we're going to use in our back end to kind of send the right failures to your companies. So now if I go back and look at the reports, you'll see now that there's actual data there. So there's a variety of reports that we actually share with you. Today I'm just focusing on the product summary, but let's say, for example, I created multiple different products. So I work at a large corporation, we have a variety of products. The company hot list report is going to show you the top crash issues across the whole company in a prioritized list. And then if you want to group products, an example of like a product group report would say, I have a product called Office, and Office has Excel and PowerPoint, Word. You might want to bundle those into a product group to look at your data. But let's look at the product summary report because that's where my file information is going to be. Okay, so the first thing here you'll notice is my product is there. I just created it. Now it's showing up in my reports. If I expand this view, what it's going to show you is the top 10 failures that you're receiving. And so just to kind of introduce some terminology here, you can think of a crash as, you know, you're using an application, some bug happened in the code, it caused a crash. On the client, we roll up some files into what we call a cab file. It's sent up to our servers, and then when we show it in our reports, we're calling that a failure. So when I say failure, it really means crash. It's kind of an interchangeable term. So here we have our list of failures. It's in a prioritized list based on the total hits. Total hits basically is just the counter of how often we're seeing that error occur. So let's take a look at my top hitter. All right, so what we have here initially is a chart. The chart's going to show you a 90-day rolling trend of the hit counts. So for the past 90 days, this is kind of how my application has been doing. Below that, you also see some additional metadata, but the most important piece here are the cabs. The cabs is what you're going to actually use for your debugging. So for any given product and failure, we'll give up to 10 cabs per offset per failure. Okay. If the 10 cabs is not enough, there is an option on the bottom that you see that says request more cabs, so you can get more if you need to. So I'm going to click on a cab. That's going to take me to the screen, and it's going to show me the memory dump. Memory dump is what's most important for debugging. It's basically a snapshot of the memory at the instance in time where the crash occurred. So I'm going to save that locally. And that's going to take me to my first demo. All right, so I've saved my memory dump. Now I'm in Visual Studio. Initially, what you're going to see is basically a summary page of the dump file. The first thing that I want to do is go to this option on the right-hand side called Set Symbols Path. And that's going to prompt me and give me an option to say where my source code is. So I've gone ahead and said, all right, my source code for Crash Me for Build is located in this directory, and I've mapped that. So now once I've done that, say OK. And if you have the source and symbols available, your debugging experience will be much better, because when you're looking at the call stack, it can actually show you where in the source code the issue is happening, which is what I'll be showing you next. All right, so now I'm going to go ahead and I'm debugging. And if you notice on the bottom, here's my call stack. Double click. It's going to take me to the issue, my source code. So looking at my code, looks like I have a buffer overflow, which is not good. So I'm going to want to address that. What else is going on? Let's see, line 42. All right, so function A also not working so well. So I have some more work to do. But this Visual Studio and using that cab file to do debugging is a good tool to understand what is going on in your code, why are the crashes occurring. Okay. Okay. So that kind of takes you through the end-to-end process for desktop applications of actually going and creating your account. Then you're going to want to go map your files. Once you map your files, we can show you the data on the reports. Once you have the reports, we'll start giving you the cab files. Once you have the cab files, you can do your debugging and hopefully start resolving issues and making a better product for your customers. Now, in addition to this whole flow, we do provide some additional tools, and that's what I'll show you next. Oops. Okay. So we do provide an API, which you can run to actually pull down all the raw data. Okay. So here's just a snapshot of the API, and I've set some breakpoints in there just to kind of highlight the three main steps that are going on. So the first step we have is basically getting a list of all the different reports. If you remember from the site, there's a whole variety of reports which we provide. So there was the company hot list, there's the product summary, product group summary, driver summary. So that first call is just looking for all the different reports. After that, we're looking for all the different feeds within each report. And then the third step is just grabbing all the data within the feeds. Right. So I'm going to run this. All right. So as it's running, you'll see in this window here, the data is starting to pop up. So there's a white paper available, and I have a resource slide in this deck at the end with a link to the white paper. The white paper will walk you through how to actually use the API and get this working for you. All right, I'm going to stop this. But if I just kind of let it keep running, it will pull all the metadata from our reports. So assuming I'd open one of those files, what I have here is basically a snippet of XML along with the report that I just showed you. So I've highlighted in the XML the failure name along with a date where I got three hits. And in the reports that I just showed you, you'll see the same failure name on the 22nd of February, I had three hits. So it's the same data coming through. Now what's really great about this is, let's say you want to do some additional reporting that is not available on our site. So On the SysDev site, we give you a prioritized list of information, and we do that for a reason. We're trying to surface the top issues for you so that you know where you can have the most impact and where to start investing your time. Now, let's say you want to maybe show a report that trends over the course of a year. So on this site, we also only give you 90 days. But you could take this API, you could store the data locally, and then you could build reports over, let's say, a year if you want to look at trends over a longer period of time. I also know partners who take the data and they want to file bugs off of it. So they'll pull the data and use their local bug filing database in order to file bugs against the crash data. So here, I've taken the same raw data, I pulled it into Power Pivot. If you're not familiar with Power Pivot, it comes with Office 2013. It's also an add-on for Office 2010. It's a great tool in order to aggregate your data in an easily consumable form. So again, I just want to call out that same failure that I just showed you is also here in my spreadsheet, and on the 22nd, I have those same three hits showing up. Okay. So with this raw metadata, what you can do, as I said, is you can build your own reports. So maybe you're working and some vice president of your company says, I don't care about the top issues right now. I just want to know over the course of the year, what does the hit trend look for my product? So that view is not on the reports. But what I have here is basically that report. So you can use the customization script to basically give the answers that you need to, you can provide the answers that you want based on the business questions that are being asked to you. So just to recap the API, so first we just get a list of the reports. Next step is to get all the different feeds. And the third step is to get all the metadata within those feeds. And it's really just a simple HTTP request up to our telemetry servers. Okay. So we have added a few new things in Windows 8.1. There is some additional metadata available on the reports. We've also increased the number of cabs that we're providing. Additionally, we have a new feature that allows us to apply filters based on the faulting process. So previously, in our reports, we would determine which failure belonged to which company based on the faulting module. So you can imagine if you have an application, but you're using a third-party module, then this could cause issues because if the error occurs in that module, which is actually owned by a third party, it would be routed to them as opposed to you, even if your application is the faulting process. So what we've done in Windows 8.1 is we've given the option to filter based on the faulty process with the combination of the faulting module. So this is going to provide a more granular level of reports for you to do your investigation. Okay. So that kind of wraps up all the desktop applications, but crash analytics in general is an important topic, whether you have a desktop application or a modern app application. So who here has a modern app or is thinking about creating a modern app? Okay, good. Some of you. Perfect. Okay. So we also have crash analytics data available for Windows Store apps. Okay. So I'm going to go back to our Windows Dev Center, and we'll go enter Windows Store applications. So again, on this site, you'll see a similar link in the top left corner for the dashboard, and that will take you into the Windows Store dashboard. So again, I have a test app called Analytics Test App, which I've created for today, and we're just, again, going to focus on the reporting aspect. Okay. So here I have a summary of how my app is doing. There's a lot of different data available here. We have downloads, ratings, finances, but since we're focused on crash analytics, I'm only going to talk about this quality piece in the bottom left. So on the summary page, if you have crash data available, we'll state that it is available, and we'll just give you a really quick overview of what's actually there. Okay. So clicking on this quality tab is going to take me to that view. So there's three different types of charts that we provide. I know this is kind of hard to see on this one slide, but we'll drill into each one individually, starting with JavaScript exceptions. So the application that I wrote is a JavaScript app, And so I'm gonna get this chart. If it wasn't JavaScript, then you wouldn't see this, but mine is, so you do. And what you have on the left-hand side is basically, on average, how often a user is hitting an issue based on initial usage. So we define initial use as the first 15 minutes of when the user is using the application. And what we provide is data for up to 3 releases. So I've released this app twice. So the one is just saying that's what was the rate in my first release. Now I can see there's some improvement for my second one. So I did some improvements. It's dropped off, which is great. There's still some issues going on. And that's what I can use the data on the right-hand side for. So on the right-hand side, you'll see again the failure name. So similar to the desktop applications, we have the same type of failures coming through. Again, the different hit counts. So again, prioritized list of all the failures. And the data on the right is only shown for your most recent release. So what I'm shown here is only relevant to release number 2 because we assume release number 1 has shipped. Now we're focusing on release number 2. And then we also provide a CAD file there for you to download and do debugging as well. If you look at the top part of the slide, you'll notice there's a section that says filters. So we give you the option to pivot the data based on different form factors and different architectures. Okay. So the next one is the crash rate. Again, it's a very similar layout to the JavaScript exceptions. Unfortunately, I added a new feature in my second release and it increased my crashes, so more work for me to do. But I do have a CAD file that's available, which I can use to, again, go and debug and hopefully reduce that crash rate in my third release. And the last chart that we provide is the app unresponsive rate. Again, similar data. It's the average, on average, how often issues are hit per user on their initial use. On this chart, though, you will notice that there is no data on the right-hand side. This is a scenario that can actually happen. There's two different data feeds that provide the data on the left versus the right. So the left is kind of the highest layer where we say this is just, you know, the number of hits and we're computing that average off of those hits. But to actually show you the CAD files, there's some additional checks that we have to go through to make sure we can surface that CAD. So if there is a CAD file available, we will absolutely show it to you. But there are instances where we just can't collect it and give the data out. So you could have an option where you actually see this there. So what to kind of take from this talk? I really encourage you to go out and leverage MSN and the Dev Center. If you haven't checked it out already, I encourage you to go do so. What we're giving you here is a prioritized list of the top crash issues that are happening for applications. So I encourage you to go take this data, make data-driven decisions, because that's going to help make sure when you fix those issues, you're going to have the biggest impact to your customers. Now, the last two bullets are specific to desktop applications because we do require additional work for you to actually go and map those files. So map the files. We have all the data already, but we can't share it unless we know who to share it with. So make sure you map your files. And then also use that automation tool to, you know, build reports that are customized to questions that you want to answer. I do want to make a few comments here. To get this data, there's no additional instrumentation required. We already have it instrumented as part of Windows, so we're already collecting all this data today. All you have to do to actually get the data is just go through the steps I showed you. It's all free. There's no other coding work required from your end. There's two blogs available. There is a blog for the Windows Store, and there is a blog called the Where Service Blog on MSCN. And they're in my resources slide, which I won't show here, but it's in the appendix of the slide deck. So if you're curious to go read through the blogs, there's a lot of great information. The new features that I showed you are also talked about there, so you can go and learn more. Okay. So there was one session yesterday. Unfortunately, I'm the last talk, so no one after me. But there was a session yesterday that's relevant to this. The session is here, but the talk was about how you actually can build reliable modern applications. So this is a great talk if you're looking at building your modern app, how to actually build it so it's reliable. Everything I covered here is post-release. So this is all data that you get after you've actually shipped it. So once you ship, you're not done. You got to make sure that everything's running healthy in the market. So this is what you're going to use post-release to collect all that data. So finally, I just want to kind of like drill in the point that we give you this data because we want to make sure the applications that you're delivering to your customers are going to amaze them. You don't want to have a customer like me in my dorm room who's very angry and upset and wishing, you know, if only Microsoft knew what had happened, how angry it was. You don't want that experience for your customers. So this data is here to make sure you can understand your customer's experience and really try to fix those issues, because if you build that reliable app, then your customers will be happy and satisfied with the product that you've delivered to them. So I encourage you to go and evaluate the session. Hopefully you enjoyed all the information that I had to share with you today. And with that, I just want to thank you for your time. And I'll hang around for a while and answer questions. So thank you again.